We'll continue our discussion this morning of being stewards of God's varied graces. And you might have been thinking as Bob was sharing the memory verse, man, it seems like that's been the memory verse for a long time. It has, for about a month. So hopefully you haven't memorized. As it has been the focal point of everything we've seen over the course of the last month or so as we've looked at this particular portion of 1 Peter chapter 4. This centers around the reality of the fact that God has given us gifts, and in giving gifts, he expects that we are going to use them. And I would submit to you this morning that the climax of what Peter would say in this portion of 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, is wrapped up for us this morning in the fact that they have been given that we might use the gifts to serve one another. Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about this morning, the reality of using the gifts that God has given us to serve one another. And in doing so, we will bring our discussion of stewardship as found in 1 Peter to a close. I trust that you would look back over the time of the discussion that we've spent together as we've worked through verses 7 through 11, and you would find that it's been encouraging, but also challenging, because sometimes, if we're honest, stewardship, and last week we looked at the idea of hospitality in particular, sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it requires sacrifice, and so I trust that even as we've looked at, I love passages of Scripture that remind us, and I say us, not you, not just me, but us, that we have a responsibility. Okay, there's a Christianity that exists today that says you don't have any responsibility, you have no accountability to God, you just make sure you show up, and you just kind of go through the motions, and you don't ever really have any accountability. But I don't see that in the Word of God. I see the Word of God telling us, and we're going to see in a greater detail today, God has given, and what God has given, we are to be using. And so I want to quickly recap verses 7 through 9 for you. Initially, we saw what we called the foundation of stewardship. The end of all things is at hand. And so followers of Christ are not to live carelessly or in a state of worry due to this fact. Rather, believers in Christ are to live intentional lives, seeking to make the glory of Christ known to the world all around them. We saw last week, as I've alluded to already, that believers are to be hospitable. But the Word of God very clearly says that there is a condition to that hospitality. The hospitality is to be without grumbling. And we said last week that, you know, you might have a tendency to grumble about hospitality because it usually requires sacrifice. It requires taking in other people. It requires more work for yourself. But if we're grumbling and complaining about being hospitable, we're in fact not being hospitable at all. And all of this, with what we will see today, okay, all of this, understanding the foundation of stewardship, understanding the call to love one another because love covers a multitude of sin, understanding the call of showing hospitality to one another without grumbling, all of that is put together for us by Peter to remind us that it is for the benefit of the community of believers. Okay? We've talked extensively as we've been in 1 Peter about the reality that this time has begun to come where Jesus has long been ascended, and there is some difficulties, if you will, have set in for followers of Christ. And so what we learn and what Peter is communicating to his people is, you guys need each other. And so you ought not be trying to tear each other apart from the inside, because the world from the outside is trying to tear you apart. So he lays some of these groundwork, and he tells us some of these things that we ought to be doing, again, like loving and being hospitable, that we might be strengthening the community. And today, Peter says very succinctly and very plainly that you are to continue to cultivate unity and health within the community of Christ by serving one another. I'll read our text this morning, 1 Peter 4. Again, I'm going to read the whole text there, 7 through 11, and we'll just focus today on verses 10 and 11. Peter writing says this, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray together. God, I thank you again today for your word, and I thank you again for the call that you have given to us, for the responsibility that is there in the life of believers to serve. And so, God, as we talk about service today and we unpack some of what that looks like and some of what that means, God, I pray you would be stirring our hearts. I pray that you would give us eyes to see your word. God, I pray that you would give us ears to hear. Help us to be people. Help us to be people who first and foremost love you more every day. And secondly, who love one another more every day. And thirdly, who love a lost and dying world each and every day. God, help us to be your hands and feet that we might reach that world for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Excuse me. So I want to begin this morning. Isaac, I don't have my clicker, so you're going to have to help me out if you would, please. I'll begin this morning by just talking about the stewardship. What is our stewardship? Right? If this is the climax of our discussion, if this whole conversation centers around stewardship and the reality of stewardship, I think we do well to ask the question, what is the stewardship? Okay? Well, here's the deal. I love the Word of God because most often the Word of God is very clear and very open and transparent. Here's the stewardship, that you would use the gift that God has given you. Okay? This is the stewardship. This is the means by which we will be held accountable to God for what we did with what he gave with us, or what he gave to us. That is the stewardship. And here's something else I love. Clarity of the Word of God. You know what Peter tells his readers? Every single member of the body of Christ has a gift. Okay? There is not one person inside Dale Bible Church or in the world in general that has a saving relationship with Jesus Christ that has not been given a spiritual gift, that has not been given a gift. You see, Peter, he says what? As each has received a gift. There is no determining who has gifts. It's very clear. Everyone who knows Christ has a gift. What I love about gifts is that you can't earn them, right? You can't. We'll use my context is an illustration, all right? The Word of God is very clear that preaching and teaching is a gift, okay? God has called me to preach and teach, okay? A local church has verified the call to ministry that God has gifted me in regards to preaching and teaching. I want you to understand something. I am not a good preacher and teacher because I'm just a good talker. God has gifted me the ability to preach and teach. Now, I have a responsibility to become a better preacher and teacher. Okay? Now, again, everybody's not a preacher, everybody's not a teacher, and we're going to unpack that in just a few moments. But you see, I could never appeal to God for the ability to be a preacher or a teacher. That's just the gift that God has given me. A gift is what? A gift. The word that Peter uses here is charisma. It's the same word that Paul would use in his discussion on spiritual gifts. And if at any point we get that gift on the basis of our ability, it's no longer a gift. It's now been given to us because we have that ability. It would be like saying that God called me to be a pastor because I was a good preacher and teacher. That would be out of order. Okay, God has called me to be a pastor, and in line with that has given me the gift of preaching and teaching. But I don't get to boast, and I don't get to brag, okay, because it is a gift that God has given me. It's not something that I have appealed to him and that he has given to me, okay? So gifts, regardless of what they are, whatever that stewardship is that God is calling you to utilize and be faithful with, is a gift. But here's the deal, okay? You think about your birthday, you think about Christmas, you get gifts. Who generally is the center of the gift that you receive on Christmas or your birthday? You are. I am, right? Like, I'm just going to tell you real quick. For my birthday last month, my mom bought me an autographed Desmond Howard University of Michigan jersey, and it is sweet. Okay? That was for me. My mom knows I'm a diehard Michigan fan, and it was, so anyways, yeah, that was for me. But here's something you need to know about spiritual gifts. They're not for you. The gift that God has given me of preaching and teaching is not for me. I do not preach and teach so that people would say, wow, he's a really good preacher and teacher. I don't know if they say that or not. I mean, I kind of hope they do, not for an arrogant sense, but because I hope people are learning when I'm preaching and teaching. But that's not why we preach and teach. Why do we preach and teach? So that people would grow in their understanding of the Word of God, right? Gifts are not about ourselves. They're not about the individual who has the gift. Gifts are given for the sole purpose of serving other people. Can you believe that? God would gift you. Again, he's gifted all of you. If you know Christ as your Savior, God has gifted you and now expects you to use that gift, not for yourself, but for other people. This is what God expects of us. And what do we read in the letter to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 4? God has given many different abilities, and he's called different people to different things. Why? For the purpose of the ministry, for edifying the body. Gifts are not about what I can do or can't do. Gifts are not about how good I do or don't do something. Gifts are about equipping the saints to do the work of the church, okay? The work of the church is to be done by the people who have been gifted by God. And who has a gift? Everyone, okay? If you've been around church for very long at all, there's an old saying that goes like this. 90% of the work is done by 10% of the people, right? And 10% of the people, the same way, do 90% of the work, okay? But here's the thing. That's not biblical. Now, it may be true, but it's not biblical. God's people have been given a gift in order that they might serve the ministry in the church. And so when Paul, example, in Ephesians 4, talks about being given a gift and God has called some for the sake of the ministry, it's about building up the ministry. That is people maturing in Christ. That is people becoming closer to their Savior each and every day. Growing in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus. I mean, how many of you, first of all, that would say they've called on the name of Christ for salvation, first of all, how many of you know you have a spiritual gift? And then second, how many of you knew that the purpose of that gift was to serve other people? But it's crazy because that's exactly what the Word of God tells us. I want to illustrate. It's a loose illustration, but I'm going to make it work. One day, John Wesley's house burned to the ground. Some people found him and said, John, we're so sorry to tell you this, but your house just burned to the ground. John Wesley said, that's impossible. No, John, your house burned to the ground. That's impossible. John, we saw it with our own eyes. Your house is gone. That's impossible. You see, I don't own a house. God gave me a place to live in. I only manage that house for him. If he didn't put the fire out, then that's his problem. He'll have to put me somewhere else. You see, John Wesley said, I only managed that house. The word managed there means stewardship. It means to steward or to take care of or to care over. And John Wesley beautifully illustrates for us, right? He understands. He understood that he could have something and use something without possessing it. He didn't hold on to it so tightly that when it went down, he went down with it too. Now again, I recognize that this sort of gift that Wesley is talking about is a little different than the types of gift that God gives to edify the body. But the point is still the same. The gifts that God has given, whatever they are given by him and are to be used for him and for his people, not for ourselves. Everything that you and I have, everything has been given to us by God for a time. And as John Wesley points out, all that we have really, it's not ours, but rather it's God's, and he has given it to us to use in order that it might be utilized for other people. And this is groundbreaking, folks. God has given us gifts to serve other people. How well are you using the gift that God has given you for the edification of the body at Dale Bible Church and the other believers that you know in your life? Generally, a gift that you have been given by God doesn't evaporate when you walk through the doors and then reappear when you come back in. Right? If God has gifted you with the ability to, I don't know, I know sometimes, and less and less people are doing this, but I know there's an individual in the church that does this. I think it's fantastic. But let's say God has kind of, one of the things that you do is you send people cards. As you think about people, they come to your mind, they come upon your heart, you just drop them a card in the mail. They know you're thinking of them, they know you're praying for them. How many of you ever got one of these cards? It's encouraging. I said, don't raise your hand. It's encouraging, right? When we get those cards, we're like, man, somebody was thinking of me. That's fantastic. But I'll tell you right now, I don't believe that that is to be reserved just for people you go to church with, right? So these gifts that God has given us, they don't evaporate and reappear as we exit and enter the church, okay? When we talk about stewardships, the stewardship is to utilize the gift that God has given us. What are the gifts? What has God given us? I'll call this the types of stewardship. And we're really just going to look at two this morning because they're general categories that spiritual gifts fit in. There's two categories, speaking and serving, okay? We talk about speaking gifts. Peter says, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Okay, so what Peter really is saying is pretty simple. When a person has been given the gift of communication, they're communicating on behalf of God. So they're to communicate with authority, with confidence, with boldness, and in truth. Now, I don't just say that because I'm the one that's standing here talking. Because An hour ago, there was three or four ladies downstairs teaching our kids in Sunday school. Guess what? They have been given the authority by God to communicate his word with authority and with boldness and with confidence. Okay? It's not something that we enter into lightly. I think I've probably told you before, everything that I read about, you know, three things, five things, 10 things a pastor must do, one of the things always on the list is a regular regimen of physical exercise. Because this job is stressful. That's not a knock on anybody, but saying to prepare to teach four times a week, to stand before people and say, this is what the Word of God says. Our Sunday school teachers, they stand before. I'm going to tell you right now, I got two kids in Sunday school and one in the nursery that will be in the Sunday school soon. Okay, you better believe that I think it's important that the people teaching Sunday school are teaching the Word of God to our kids. And that is a weighty responsibility. And I understand everybody's not a teacher. That's okay. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But if you are a teacher, if God has called you to serve people in some avenue of preaching, teaching, leading, sometimes it's just accountability, meeting with people one-on-one and sharing and trying to pour into their lives and tell them what the Word of God says. This is vital and important. It's not something that we enter into lightly because literally we are communicating on the behalf of God. And so what's the other category? The other category or other type of stewardships is that of serving. right? As I've said, some speak, some do not. That is okay. The gift that people have that is of service and not speaking is just fine. But Peter does tell us here that when a person has been given the gift of service, that the strength that they need to perform this service will come from God. So what do both specific types of stewardship need? They need a reliance upon God. So whether you just serve physically, maybe you serve in other capacities. I mean, think about every time we have a fellowship. Somebody's setting up tables and tearing down tables and making food and cleaning the kitchen and doing dishes. And all of these things kind of fall under that umbrella of serving. Whether you speak, whether you serve, you do it on behalf of God. And so I want to pause again for just a moment and seek to help everybody, all of us, understand a couple things. And this is a bit redundant, but bear with me. Every person has been given a gift by God. And your gift either falls into one of two categories, speaking or serving, and in some cases, both. But hear me say this also, okay? One gift is not lesser than the other. Maybe you're not a teacher. Maybe you're not going to go to Bible college and seminary and pastor a church. That does not mean that your gift is insignificant. I don't need 150 preachers looking at me, okay? I need 150 people that are serious about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that are serious about reaching the world with that gospel of Jesus Christ, and who are committed to doing the work of the ministry that is Dale Bible Church, whatever that looks like. Maybe it's not preaching, maybe it's not teaching, but am I willing to go and have conversations with people that maybe for no other reason I would talk to other than to say, hey, can I tell you about Jesus? Yeah, everybody just got super uncomfortable, didn't they? I just told you I want you to talk to strangers about Jesus. I don't know who I was talking to recently because I talked to a lot of people, but I meant that like I'm always saying I talked to somebody recently, not like in light of what I just said, but we were talking and we're talking about, you know, serving people. Well, you know, I'm trying to figure out, I think it was one of our young men. I'm trying to figure out what he's going to do in light of college, and, you know, I don't know. Listen, I want you to understand something. Young people going to college, almost going to college, okay? We need Christian people who love Jesus in the secular world, okay? So just, and don't hear me say don't go to Bible college. I think it'd be fantastic if we could line you up and send you out in buses. But we need people to get jobs and be a biblical influence in the world for Jesus. Okay, everybody doesn't have to be in full-time Christian service, but everybody is a servant for Christ. So not doing anything is not an option. And so the main thing to be aware of this morning is what your gift is what is of utmost importance. What is of utmost importance is whether or not you are using whatever your gift is. It's not about what it is, it's about whether or not you're using it. What matters most is if you're being a good steward of the gifts of God's varied grace. I'm going to give you an illustration, okay, that's very personal, practical to Dale Bible Church, okay? Some of you may have noticed, maybe not, we have a bunch of new flowers at Dale Bible Church. Our flower pots have been redone outside. The landscaping down front's been redone. Over by the flagpole has been redone. The yard's being mowed all the time. Weed eating's being done. In the last 6 months, we've had about 48 trees break in half, and somebody keeps showing up to cut them up. Okay? This is the kind of stuff we talk about. The person who's cutting a tree may never be a Bible teacher. That's okay. You know why? Because we need people to cut up trees when they fall and break and they're laying over the driveway. You know, it's a blessing to Dale Bible Church when an individual from Dale Bible Church comes to the pastor and says, Pastor, I want to mow the church's lawn and I don't want anything for it. I just want to try to be a blessing to the church in that way. That's service. That's service. And I'm not trying to puff up the individual that mows our lawn. But service isn't always about the preaching and teaching and the inner workings of the church. Again, I don't care if your gift is landscaping. I don't care if your gift is teaching a class in JFK, your gift is useful to the ministry of Dale Bible Church and the world that we live in. But I want you to understand this. Spiritual gifts are not fundamentally a privilege. Okay, they're a responsibility. That's why it's called a stewardship. Because we're only managing it for a time. We're utilizing or using what God has given us for the benefit of other people. Whatever the gift that God has given you is, you are being called to be faithful in using that gift. Are you responsibly using the gift or gifts that God has given you? Last thing I want you to see from our text this morning is the rewards of stewardship. Because here's the deal. Whether or not you are using your gift as a good steward matters. It matters. Okay? So if you're a teacher and you're not teaching, I would love to talk to you. No. Whatever your gift may be, are you using it? Are you utilizing it? Because here's what I want you to understand. There is a significance. The reason our stewardship matters is because there is a reward or a result from our stewardship. Really, there's two of them. One that we've talked about for the last month, and the other one that Peter reserves for us right here till we get to the end. And what he reserves for us is not because it's of less significance or importance. In fact, it's more. I want you to understand something. You have been given a gift. You are being expected by God to use it because ultimately your gift is for the glorification of God through Christ Jesus. Now, how silly would it be for God's people to receive a gift from God that his desire is for you to use to bring him glory and you don't use it? After all, everything that you do in life, Paul would tell the church at Colossae chapter 3, verse 23, ultimately is done for the glory of God. And this is one of, if not the primary reason why we are to be good stewards of the gift that God bestows. Gifts are from him and gifts are for him. And brothers and sisters, you and I have to be busy about using the gifts that he's given us for his glory. The second result, or I would say reward of stewardship, and this is what Peter has hammered home all through verses 7 through 11, is that one of the great rewards of stewardship is the unification of the believing community. That when we're faithful stewards of the gifts that God has given us, it brings people together. It's actually not outlined here in verses 10 or 11. But as I've said, it's the whole theme that Peter is driving home. The community of believers is unified when the people of the community rightly understand what God is doing, and those same people are seeking to be faithful, to be good caretakers of the gift that God has given them. Okay? Just from a pastoral perspective, I need you guys to utilize your gifts because I can't do this by myself, and there's nobody who could. By the way, that's how God designed it. Okay, our churches don't need to be one-man shows. It's a body. We've come together. And what does Paul say? We're a body, but we're different members, and we serve different functions. But as we come together and we serve one another in the capacities in which God has gifted us, the body thrives. The church becomes healthy. The church grows. Not just physically, numerically, but spiritually, especially mature spiritually. Because after all, what did Paul say in Ephesians 4? That we use our gifts for the work of the ministry that people would grow in maturity to Christ. I'll share this illustration with you. It's not me per se, but just an illustration I found. He says, when I was going through seminary, money was very hard to come by. The guy says, I made $350 a month. We weren't poor, we were po. There is a difference. We knew that this was a temporary glitch in the progress of life, but it didn't change the reality that times were difficult. One of the ways that extra money was earned during the seminary years was house sitting. Seminary couples would be asked to come and sit at the house of a wealthy person. These would be wealthy people who were going on vacation, and they did not want to leave their homes unattended. So seminary couples would gladly offer to be hired out to watch over their home. Sometimes that involved just the house. Other times it could involve the house and animals or kids. It might end up being a lot of work, but seminarians jumped at this for a number of reasons. One, it paid really well. Also, it provided a way for seminarians to live large for a little while as they enjoyed the nicer accommodations of the home that they watched over. It was kind of nice to have the feeling of driving up and pretending that the house was yours. My wife wouldn't let me touch anything. She knew that these folks were coming back home, and she wanted to make sure that things stayed in place. I was prone to getting a little too comfortable. Her job was to remind me that it was all not mine, that we were only visiting temporarily. She understood the mindset of looking over the property or affairs of others. She understood stewardship. I want you to understand, a day will come when each and every one of us who names the name of Christ will give account of how we use the gifts that God has given us. They are not ours for our own glory or for our self-esteem. The gifts are ours for the purpose of others' benefit and God's glory. Just as the wealthy homeowners would return and assess all that they had been entrusted or all that they had entrusted to the seminary students, God will one day return, and when he does, he too will assess all that he has entrusted to us and whether or not we have been good caretakers of it. God has given you a gift for the purpose of serving others, for their benefit and for God's glory, and God is going to hold us accountable for that. One day we are literally going to stand before him and he's going to say, Justin Halder, how did you use the gifts that I entrusted to you? Oh, well, you know, I didn't really think it was that important for me to tell people about Jesus because, I mean, you know, they're going to hear about Jesus, I guess. I don't really know. I was too busy, Jesus. Let me know how that's going to go. And I understand that's a bit fanciful and it's a bit facetious. But the fact that we're going to stand before Jesus and give account is not fanciful and it's not facetious. And when you stand before Jesus and you give account as a believer for how you used the gifts that he's given you, I'm pretty sure you don't want to stand there and go like this. This is serious. God's people need to be about God's work. Understand this in closing. When we are good stewards, the body thrives and God is glorified. And this ought to be motivation enough for us to be good stewards, right? I mean, think about it this way. If every single person came to church with the mindset of how could I serve somebody, you might start to think, well, that means I'm never getting served. Wrong. Yes, you would. If everybody sought to serve other people, everybody would be being served. Right? I mean, I think about when you come to church on a rainy day. Husbands, what do? You pull up under the awning and you let your wife get out. Let me ask you a question, husbands, and some of you do. Why don't you do it when it's not raining? Why don't you serve your wives then? Serve your families in that way. That's just a small, silly example. You know, maybe you get somebody's coffee. Maybe you park young people that can drive, if they'll trust you, maybe you park somebody's car. See me if you need to know if they're trustworthy to drive your car. Although I can't really say much. I backed into a parked one recently. But understand this, if every member of the body of Christ utilized their gifts, everybody would be being served and the whole body would benefit. So we close our discussion on stewardship with this question. Are you being a good steward of the varied grace that God has given you? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today.